So for our service today, we have a special guest speaker who needs no introduction. We ask Mr. Phil Woodrow to come up and give us God's word to us today. Let's welcome Mr. Woodrow.
From whom we've been separated sometimes months or years. The certain quality of a close relationship is when you can be apart for all that time and then get back together again and simply pick up where you left off. And that is so neat. Ask a question. Around this time of Christmas, what is the most favorite name that you would have to identify Christ? You have to pick one name. How will you identify him in your own mind? Is there one name that stands out to you? Didn't hear. Wow. Wow. You know, that's the name I thought of. It's so precious. Emmanuel, Emmanuel. They call his name Emmanuel. And it goes on to say, God with us. That is the meaning of Emmanuel. And all that we've sung so far, with great rejoicing, great confidence, with great passion, great commitment, it's all about Emmanuel, God with us. Because without that, we have nothing. And with all of the things that take place during the Christmas time, there's so much that would try to draw us away from that. And yet I'm thinking, Emmanuel, God with us. What could I do in some simple way? And when I say simple way, as I had my whole material put onto the computer on Wednesday, Microsoft notified me that they're going to give me an update. And they did. And took several hours. And when it came on, I went on, and every single bit of software was gone. And people marvel at me at my age to be able to use the computer. It's like a car. You put the key in and you start it and you go. So I spent lots of money and I still don't have any use of my email. Don't even know where it is. It's not that anything is missing in the hard drive, but access to it, that's the whole point. So this morning, I feel free. I sent to a couple of you during the week something that came through. It was from Prophet Albert Einstein. And there's a picture of him with his bushy hair and mustache. And it said, someday our technology is going to be so great that we'll be producing generations of idiots. And I thought to myself, I fit that. Maybe I was an idiot before, but I never realized it until technology came along. But anyway, there is a sense after getting over the shock and the depression of everything's lost. It's in there, but I can't get it. I felt this sudden peace and calm to say, you know what? I'm freed from that. And I'm not going to trouble you with all of the things I was going to put up on the screen this morning that you can follow. It is simply you, me, Emmanuel, and his word. So this is going to be casual. I've got my time squared away. But I want you to be ready to use your scriptures because that's what I want us to look at this morning. Because this whole idea of Emmanuel, God with us, he has opened up to me a new view of how should we look upon this whole season of Christmas, the season of giving, when he is given to us. What are we going to give? Not to each other, but we're going to give back to him. So this is the whole theme, and it's centered around the one word of shepherd. Shepherd. We've already seen, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Okay, Emmanuel. So Emmanuel, God with us, is going to come. And 700 years later, the wise men, they call them, the shepherds who came in, shepherds came in from the east following a star that led them to Jerusalem to begin with. And they knocked on Herod's door and said, we're looking for this king that we have been told is going to be born in Israel, but we don't know where. And Herod's attention was caught very quickly, and he desperately wanted to find out, primarily so he could destroy him. But his scribes came and he said, where are we going to find him? And they picked out this verse from Micah. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Emmanuel, God with us, is going to come and shepherd, rule over his people Israel, which today includes us. So we have this idea that the shepherd, this is in the scriptures, but to find that in the context that just kind of awakened me and said, there's something here that we've got to look into. So I then went to Psalm 23. A shepherd boy by the name of David. Picture him. Here's what we can use our imagination. He's out there in the evening. The shepherd, the sheep are now lying down, and he's thinking to himself. And this is what he writes. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths, remember that word, in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know that. But what does it mean? What did the shepherd David mean? And here I picture the shepherd, the guide, the shepherd, the comforter, the shepherd, the provider. And the whole scene here is green pastures, still quiet waters. There's something soothing about there, isn't that? But then he restores my soul, and now we're going beyond the sheep. We're talking about people. He restores my soul and leads me into the paths of righteousness. There's something about this shepherd that wants to transform his sheep. And then this one here. It struck me last July, down in Texas. My daughter's next door neighbor, Roy, that I'd developed a relationship with, called me at 4:30 in the morning. And he said, Phil, he's 4 hours away. I'm with my dad and he just died. Would you pray for us? Dad's okay. Dad's okay, but would you pray for us as we mourn? And I got up from bed, not to mourn, but simply go out and start pondering, looking up the whole term of dead and death. And what struck me was when I came to the 23rd Psalm, for the first time in my life, this is the work of the Holy Spirit to all of us as we open up and read the scriptures, hungry and thirsting to know, when he said, for though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now, what did you hear? He said, for thou art with me. What did you hear? Traveling that valley of shadow of death. But did you notice the one word that I didn't emphasize, but I will now? Even though I walk through, not into, through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Through, not into, but passing through. So that even now, as we stand over our loved ones or others that we know, good friends, who have passed on, Roy's dad, he just passed through. And when we know the good shepherd, the one who restores our souls, it has a real hope, does it not? But beyond that, for today, walking through the valley that is sun deprived, it's dark, it says the shadow of death, not death, the shadow of death. We go through that all the time. When my computer crashed, let me tell you something, I was in the valley. I was angry, I was frustrated, I was depressed. But you want to know something? I had all that in my computer, but there in God's word, it's real, it's alive. Look at it, through the valley. He's with me, he's with us. He's the good shepherd who cares for us, who leads us through that and out the other end. And he's with us all the time. And we sing about it, but when we're going through it, this is what it's all about, isn't it, this morning? It's not what messages Phil Woodrow is going to preach this morning. It's what is the Lord speaking to me about? And this is it. And you know the other beautiful thing about this? I never came across this until in the middle of preparing this. Notice at the beginning, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside the still waters. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. He's leading. But look at the last verse. Surely, and I'm putting in the word his, goodness and mercy shall follow me, not lead me. His goodness and mercy shall follow me. It's following after. He's leading before, and his goodness and mercy is following after. I'm enveloped. Emmanuel, God with us. Wow. Isn't God great the way he unfolds this to us? That's always been there. But when we take the technology out of it and stop concerning about what's going up on the screen and how you're going to present it and how many lines it's going to take and will it fit on one screen, sometimes we overlook what God really wants us to see. So this is the shepherd. The wonderful part of this is In this metaphor, we see this shepherd as the shepherd who provides, sustains. But then, we're going to turn to another shepherd, figuratively speaking. Go over to John 10. There are so many parts of this I could read, but I just want to read a couple, five different verses, 9 through 11, and then 27 and 28. Oops, that's John 17. Oops, I'm in Luke. This is the neat part about just playing it cool, okay? I had these all marked. John chapter 10, verses 9 through 11. Look at them with me. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go on in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they may have life and have it abundantly. And now look at this. Ha! I am the good shepherd. Bang! The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Same shepherd. He describes himself earlier in John chapter 10 as the sheepfold. He refers to himself as the door. When we sing, he's my all in all, I mean, he's the sheepfold, he's the door, and he's the shepherd. And he leads us in and out, in and out. That's Psalm 23. But then he comes and adds to it about the enemies, the lions, and the other predators who come after sheep. And he says, he comes to kill and destroy, but I come that they might have life and have it abundantly. Now we're coming back to his mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now comes the spiritual part where he's saying, and then he says, and I am the good shepherd, the good shepherd. And I lay down my life. Now there's something new here, isn't there? There is this whole idea of, again, Emmanuel. The shepherd is with us. God with us. He lays down his life. Now this is the shepherd, the Redeemer. Shepherd, the Savior. But then we can't leave this without going further on in chapter 10 to look at verses 27 and 28. He says, my sheep. Again, the metaphor. Shepherd and sheep, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Sheep follow shepherds. The shepherd knows his sheep, the lambs recognize his voice, and they recognize him, and they come, and they follow. Period. I give them eternal life. Now he's talking to sheep. I give them eternal life. What is eternal life? It's forever. It's eternal. It will never end. But he's talking to sheep. I give them eternal life. And then he says, sheep, you're paying attention? You will never perish. Da. Eternal life, you're never going to perish. But he's still talking to dumb sheep. And then he says, and no one can snatch them out of my hand. Do we get it? The idea, people who struggle with assurance. What shepherd are you following? That's what it comes down to, doesn't it? And sometimes, you know, it's just a matter of, it suddenly hits you. Suddenly it hits you. Some people here this morning may have never heard that before, or it never meant anything to you before. This isn't the message. This is the Holy Spirit of God speaking to your heart. We are secure, not simply in beside the still waters in the green pastures. We're secure forever in the house of the Lord forever. This is the shepherd who is the Redeemer. Wow. But then we come to the tougher one. Luke chapter 9. Luke 9. And he shall say to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. And then he concludes with this thoughtful bit of philosophy. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits his own life? That applies to all of us, doesn't it? Where are we going to go? What are your plans for life? What do you want to do? Don't get this as a put down for education and going through the valley of the shadow of death with exams coming up, or wondering what college you're going to go to. All these things are the valleys of darkness. We don't know. We want to know. And we spend more time thinking about that than thinking about what the Lord tells us here. If you want to follow after me, you have to give yourself up. You have to surrender. Everything that's dear to you, you're giving it up and turning it over to Him. It's not that you're giving up, but you're giving up this whole idea of self, pride, what I want, what's good for me, what I think is good for me, and giving this over to the shepherd who over and over and over again says, put your trust in me. Don't lean on your own understanding. And that doesn't mean that you can't think, but we go to him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Don't lean on your own understanding. Lean upon his. So we lean on him. Christ says in John 15, 7, if you abide in me, the shepherd, and my word abides in you, ask me for whatever you want. This is not restriction we're talking about. This is giving ourselves, emptying ourselves of me and filling ourselves with him. That's part of the whole shepherding process. As he guides, as he takes care of you, as he takes you through this valley and that valley, through all kinds of issues. And the older you get, the more you're going to see this. It becomes so obvious. So that when we cry out to him for help, it's always with a sense of thanksgiving. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Let your request be made known with thanksgiving to God. And the peace of God that transcends all human understanding will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus, the shepherd. It's emptying of self. But the second pitfall in this challenge he gives us comes with the whole idea of taking up the cross daily. Oh, the crosses. Oh, it's a relief to come up here and empty what God has put into me this week, empty it to get rid of it with great joy and say, yeah, he saw me through that valley of deep darkness, and he not only saw me through it, but I came out in the kitchen, I think it was Friday morning, I said to Blossom, you know, Blossom, I don't often tell you this, but I woke up in a lousy mood this morning, but I made up my mind, this is not Phil Woodrow speaking, that I'm going to dump that. That's the enemy. Comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And to simply suck out from you the love, the power that you've been given to be focusing upon. It's all a matter of the mind and the heart and the will. And you know, this is God at work in us. And when we see the crosses, first of all, we often think of the cross of Christ. He's not talking about that. He carried his cross. That's not the cross. He said, I want you to carry your cross, and I want you to carry it daily. So we recognize that the stumbling blocks, those things that bother us, that drive us crazy, that we keep thinking about, those are the crosses that we carry, having given up self and carrying them with a sense of joy, knowing that this is part of that work that the shepherd is bringing me through the valley. To rejoice in knowing that, hey, I've got it, and it hasn't gone away, I still have it, but I know that I can come in here on Sunday morning with something I've just put on a sheet of paper. There's a sense of freedom friends. There's freedom in it. And then the final one is when he says, and follow me, getting on the same road. Remember, he leads me in paths of righteousness. Psalm 23, and over here in Luke 9, 23, to get on the same pathway, the pathway of righteousness. This is the road I want you to travel on with me. And I don't speak this now as a kindly shepherd. I speak to you as a shepherd who carries a rod and staff, and sometimes I have to break the leg of a sheep to keep him from running away over and over and over again. And I'll pick him up and carry him for a while till that leg heals. But when I put him down again, when that leg is healed, he's going to follow me. He doesn't mess around with us. That's it. Because he says, for what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? Stop to think of it. When you end up with your millions, when you end up with your dream house, when you end up with all this stuff and all this status, what have you sacrificed? Has it been a gift from? There's nothing wrong with having any of that. But is it? Is your home the Bethel? Is your home the house of God? Recognizing that's his. It's on loan to me. And whatever I do under this roof, and whoever comes and goes through it is entering into and passing through, not the valley of the shadow of death, but through and into the house of God, Bethel. That's what the word means. That was Jacob when he got through wrestling with the angel. This is what that's all about. We come through. This is hard work, isn't it? See, I have to put myself in your shoes now and say, geez, when is he going to ease up? When he eases up on me, the point is this is life. And we come, and every day we have that opportunity to be with him. It's work. And you see, that's why I'm thinking of, this is why we have placed such an emphasis upon being baptized and giving one's testimony. Baptism isn't a thing to say, okay, I've arrived, now it's all set. That's what I thought when I first became a Christian. Good, I finally arrived. Now everything's going to be hunky-dory, I'm all set. Without recognizing I'm just getting on that pathway that he wants me to follow. I didn't even know there was a pathway there. Examples. The living example that I think of is a young man I've known since he was in high school. He graduated, went to work at Price Chopper, and I've seen him from time to time. To me, he's the most successful person I've ever known. I knew him from Boys Christian Brigade. It's like a Christian Boy Scouts. And Kyle was, he loved his Jesus. And he didn't participate a lot, but he loved him. He came regularly. And I lost track of him. But I finally found out that he was working at Price Chopper. And the last time we had lunch together, I said to him, Kyle, where are you going with all this? What are you doing? And he says, well, Mr. Woodrow, I want to be able to work for Price Chopper for 25 years and get my pension from them. And he's got about 20, 21 in now. He's in his 30s. Now, you may think that's pretty simple or pretty self-whatever. What I need to tell you is Kyle has Down syndrome. Kyle doesn't have all that we have. a Down syndrome child normally dies in his teenage years at the most. And Kyle's now in his mid-30s. And all this time, he's been working at Price Chopper, bagging groceries. He's a whopping success, day after day after day. And you know, because of his condition, he's getting mid-30s. His health is not what it used to be, but he's still working one day a week for Price Chopper. And they hang on to him as a treasure toward working toward his pension. But then I said to him, Kyle, take Price Chopper, put aside all your work you do, but what do you do around the house? What's your favorite thing to do when you're not working? And he said, helping my mother. I help her do the dishes and I help her vacuum. Emmanuel, God with us. I'm so humbled by that. But you see, when I say the most successful person I've ever met, he has taken what little God has given him and he has given it everything. He can say, not is the Lord my shepherd, but the Lord is my shepherd. He's my protector. He's my savior. And he's my Lord. And I'm carrying it. He doesn't even think about this. And I'm carrying my cross every day for him. And I'm on that pathway. God with us. God with us, Emmanuel, the shepherd. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, how great thou art. What a joy to be with my family this morning, to share your word, to share your heart, to share Emmanuel, who is God with us. As we go from here this morning, may it be with that sense of there's something different. There's going to be something different this year. It's not opening up that last present and thinking, ha, this is it until next year. Oh, Father, may this cross, may this precious relationship you draw us into, the sweetness of this relationship, be with us day after day after day, that we can follow through on what Paul suggested. Rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice, for Emmanuel is with us. We praise you for this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.